Appreciate that word, Brother Streeter. If you would, open your Bibles with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I've already enjoyed very much being here today. Enjoyed the songs that we've sung. I enjoyed the message that I got to hear during the Sunday school hour. Pray that the Lord will continue to bless as we study His Word now. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 15. The Scripture says, "This is a faithful saying, and it's worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." This is a faithful saying. The word faithful means it's trustworthy. It's surely true. This is a surely true saying, that is message. And it's worthy. What worthy? It's deserving of all acceptation. It deserves that all accept and believe this message. It's worthy that you and I this morning, that we receive this message and rejoice in this message. That Christ, that is God's anointed, the one that He chose and set apart to be our prophet, to reveal God unto us, to be our priest, in order to offer Himself a sacrifice that God would accept to put away our sins, and to be our King, to rule in our lives today. That Christ Jesus came into the world. It's a worthy message that we all accept, that Christ Jesus, God's Son, came into this world. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and the Word was made flesh. That is, Christ came into this world. The Word was made flesh, and He dwelt among us. He lived among us in this world, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth. This is a message that's worthy that we accept and believe today, that Christ Jesus came into the world. Well, why did He come into the world? To save sinners. This is a message that we should all receive and rejoice in this morning, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Every believer here, you feel just like the Apostle Paul. You who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He came into this world to save you, you believe just like Him, that when He saved you, He saved the chief of sinners, right? All of us feel that very same way. The word save actually means, it means to deliver and to protect. Christ came into this world, the Son of God came into this world to deliver sinners and to protect sinners. Now, lost men and women, they believe that's the silliest message that could ever be said, that they would need to be saved. People make fun of those who believe in the new birth, that we must be born again, that God the Holy Spirit must do something for us as sinners or we will forever be lost, that He has to give us life and that we need to be saved. The lost world, those who are dead in trespasses and sins, all of us before God brought us to faith in Christ, we thought that was silly. To be saved? What do I need to be saved from? You know, why do people believe that that's a ridiculous message if they're lost? There's many, many reasons, but I want to mention three this morning. First, because as we come into this world dead in trespasses and sins, we don't understand, first of all, that God is holy and that He's just. We don't understand that. And even as a child of God, I don't speak for you. I speak for myself. I can't even begin to understand just how righteous and holy God is. Why? Because I'm everything that's not righteous and holy. But the Scripture teaches that God hates sin and that He is angry with the wicked every day. And that word angry, you know, there's different levels of angry, right? You can be a little bit upset. You know, maybe you get a little bit crossways. Then there's a more severe anger and a more severe anger. But the word that the psalmist uses there when he says that God is angry with the wicked every day, it's the strongest sense of the word anger. It actually means to foam at the mouth. And the picture is of that mad dog. You've seen that dog that has rabies, or that dog that's chained up to that house, and someone comes up to that fence and they're just foaming at the mouth. That's the word that the psalmist actually used when he says that God is angry with the wicked every day. But people, they think that it's a silly message that they need to be saved. Why? Because by nature, we don't believe that. We cannot enter into the fact that God is holy and just and righteous, and that He will punish sin. Secondly, it's because we just don't get our own sinfulness. David mentioned in his lesson this morning that God looked from heaven, not that He needed to, but He says that He did, and that there is none righteous, not even one, and that there's none good, not even one, in this whole world of billions of people, that there is not one who's good. And yet God is holy and He's just. And as a just God, He must punish sin. If you don't hear anything else that I say this morning, please hear this. There is not one sin that any of us or anyone else that has ever lived in this world commits that God will not punish. He must. Why? Because He's holy. He must punish sin. But thank God, I'm so thankful that when God, in His mercy and grace, reaches down to us as sinners, and He gives us spiritual life, He teaches us this truth, that He can be just. His justice is never compromised, and the justifier of him that believes in Jesus. God can be just and punish every sin and justify the sinner that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. The Lord Jesus, He said, I came not to judge this world. The Son of God did not need to come into this world to judge the world, did He? This world was already judged. He said, I came not into the world. I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Just like Paul said that Christ Jesus came into the world, the Lord Jesus says, I came into this world not to judge the world, but to save the world. He said, for the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost. Isn't that good news this morning? The Lord Jesus came into this world to save that which is lost. I find myself in that description. That which is lost. The Lord Jesus said He came to save one like me, one who's lost. You see, to save sinners, our sins must be paid for. And for our sins to be paid for, the Son of God had to come into this world. He had to become a man. And He had to live a perfect life, not for Himself. He was already perfect. He had to walk through this world as a representative for His people, living a perfect life, always thinking good and saying good and doing good. He had to, if we were going to have our sins forgiven, right? We needed a righteousness that God would accept. And the Lord Jesus walked into this world perfectly as our representative. And then He went to the cross and died the cruel death under the punishment of God as a substitute. He didn't die for himself. He had no sins of his own. So why was he there dying? He was dying in the place and in the stead as a substitute for sinners. He came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. What a blessed message that is. Amen. You know, this morning, believers, our entire hope and confidence that we are right with God today and that we will be accepted, not only today, but for eternity. Our entire hope, every bit of hope and comfort we have today is wrapped up in this truth that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Apart from that message, there is no hope for us. But he came to save sinners. How can we know that the one named Jesus that was born of Mary, that I've been talking about so far this morning, how may we know that this really is a true saying? Paul said this is a faithful saying. It's worthy that all accept it, that all receive it. Well, how can we know? How should we know? How can we know that that's a message that's worth receiving? It's good news, isn't it? Is it true? It's only good news if it's true. How may we know that this is a true message? That this is actually the truth? I want to quickly give us seven reasons. Seven reasons why we can know that this message is a faithful saying. And it's worthy that you and I receive it this morning. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners and to receive it, so that we may cast our eternity upon Him. It's not so that we may know this just in our mind, but that in our hearts and souls we may be able to trust Him, to believe upon Him, to save our souls. So seven reasons. Here's the first reason we know that this message is true. The substitutionary death of the animals commanded by God through Moses and the law of Moses. It teaches us that this message is true. The substitutionary death of the animals that God commanded. You see, there were thousands and thousands and thousands of animals that were sacrificed. Animals that were slain in the place or in the stead of sinners, of the Israelites. But God's word teaches us that it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. All of those thousands of animals that were sacrificed by God's command never took away not even one sin. God said it's not possible that the blood of animals, of bulls and goats, should take away sin. So why were they offered? Why was all that blood shed? Because they were able to picture. They were able to foreshadow the Lamb of God that would come into this world. The Son of God that would become man and come as the Lamb of God and offer that sacrifice and that blood that can put away sin. That was the purpose of every one of those animals that was sacrificed. The sin offering, the trespass offering, all of those offerings, the offerings on the Day of Atonement, the goodwill offerings, all those. How many animals that never took away sin, but they did picture God's Lamb. God taught in that temple day after day after day that there was a sacrifice that was coming into this world that really could put away sin. We read in Isaiah that the Lord Jesus, He hung upon that cross as our substitute. Surely He had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, we are healed. Can you enter into that verse as he hung up on that cross? The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Every one of those stripes that he was beaten with his stripes, were healed. He hung there as that substitutionary sacrifice that all those animals pictured. I can't spend long. I have 7 of these points, so I have to be short on each one. You could preach a whole message on each of these, but here's the second reason. How do we know that this message is true? Because God promised it through the prophets. God promised it through the prophets over and over again that Christ Jesus was going to come into this world to save sinners. We have hundreds of years of prophecies. God promising, I'm sending my son. I'm sending my servant. I'm sending my chosen one over and over and over. You know, in Jeremiah, we read this. Try to listen. Behold, the days come, says the Lord. Wait a minute. Here's a message from God. You read in those and the prophets, there's so much bad, isn't there? So much doom and gloom about what was going to come upon the people of Israel. And in the midst of all of this darkness and sadness and grief, there'll be these nuggets of promise of the Lord God. He said, behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will raise up unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and he shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Now look with me in Jeremiah chapter 33. I'm going to look at a few verses with you. Jeremiah 33. I start to just read you these verses, but I know you're probably, it's hard for you to listen as it is for me. And sometimes when someone's just sitting there talking, it helps me to come back to a scripture and refocus. And so turn to some of these scriptures. Look at Jeremiah chapter 33, verse number 14. With that promise in mind from Jeremiah 23 that I just gave you. Jeremiah 33, verse 14. Here's another promise. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, and I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David. Who is that speaking of? It's speaking of the Messiah, of Christ. And he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. He'll live a holy life. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. He's going to be called the Lord our righteousness, and she's going to be called the Lord our righteousness. Isn't that what we do this morning, believers? We fulfill this promise. We call the Lord Jesus the Lord our righteousness, all our righteousness. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel, neither shall the priests, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offerings and to kindle meat offerings and to do sacrifice continually. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, that righteous branch, he is a Savior forever. God said, I'm going to send him. There's never going to be a shortage of an acceptable sacrifice with which I'm well pleased. That sacrifice is the Lord Jesus Christ. That sacrifice he offered upon the cross. Now, I'm going to move on here. I had some other verses here, prophecies, but I want to give you all 7 of these points. So I'm going to move on. Here's the third reason we know this is a faithful saying. The angels announced it. Look at Matthew chapter 1 with me. Matthew chapter 1. The angels announce this truth that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Matthew chapter 1. And verse number 18. Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, he thought to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, don't be afraid to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived, that which is begotten in her, is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, that is Savior. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. You see, the angel told Joseph, here's the promise. You'll call his name Jesus. Why? Because he's going to save his people from their sins. And then on the night of our Savior's birth, the angel of the Lord, you remember he announced to the shepherds, he said, fear not. I don't know about you, if I'd have been out there keeping sheep in the dark of the stars and the moon, and all of a sudden, you know, an angel appeared, I think I'd be a little bit afraid myself. But the angel said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. See, the angels, they announced it when the Savior came into this world. I think, you know, we sing some of these hymns and we sing them only generally at Christmas time. But on my playlist, I listen to them year round. Why? Because there's no happier message, no happier song. But this one Christmas hymn we sing, O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay this world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, hear the angels' voices. O night divine, O night when Christ was born. You see, the angels announced the most glorious, happiest, wonderful message ever heard. That Christ Jesus had come. The prophet said he's coming. The sacrifices pictured that he was coming. But the angels, they announced. And the heavens were filled with their glory, wasn't they? As this glorious message. Christ has come. He's here. He's here. He's here to save sinners. The prophet, fourthly, John the Baptist, he identified him. John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You see, he pointed him out. It was a long time from the time when the Lord Jesus was born, and then at 12 years old when he went to the temple, till he appeared in his earthly ministry, wasn't it? And John saw him coming, and he said, behold, look, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. You remember the Pharisees, John was out there in the wilderness baptizing. And they sent that group of Pharisees to go ask him, why are you doing this, John? Are you the Christ? John said, no, I'm not the Christ. And said, in fact, there's one among us who is, whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to even get down and unloose. But no, I'm not the Christ. Where are you Elijah? No, I'm not Elijah. Well, John, are you at least the prophet? John said, no, I'm not a prophet. And they said, well, John, why are you baptizing then? That was something that had never happened before, right? Baptism was something new that John the Baptist had basically brought onto the scene. So they said, John, why are you baptizing? And I want to read you what John answered from the New International Version. John said this. He said, the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Who? The Lamb of God. He said, the Spirit came down from heaven as a dove and remained on him. He said, and I myself, I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water, he told me. He said, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. And then the next day when he sees the Lord Jesus coming, once again he says, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. God in some way in the scripture that I can find doesn't teach us where he taught John this. But he had told them that whoever he baptized, and when he saw the Spirit descend upon that individual and stay upon him, that that would be God's anointing. And John saw it, and John testified. So here's the sixth reason we know this message is truth. The enemies of our Lord Jesus Christ recognized. There's a lot that they got wrong. But there was one thing that they got right. The enemies of our Lord Jesus Christ recognized that he received sinners. He received sinners. Look at Luke chapter 15. And I'm almost done here. Luke chapter 15. Verse number 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. That's my prayer this morning. That here, all the publicans and sinners, starting with me, may we draw near to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man best news ever spoken by Christ's enemies. This man receiveth sinners. and he eats with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he had found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Today, maybe there's someone here and somehow you believe that you're such a sinner that you're beyond being able to be saved, to be able to be rescued, to be able to be delivered, to be able to be protected. Paul said that an example was shown to him, through him, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom he said he was chief. So if he can save the chief, let's just say you are the chief of sinners, that I'm the chief of sinners. It's not beyond. There's no sheep so lost that the Lord Jesus Christ cannot find it. There's no sheep so lost that he, when he finds that sheep, can't take that sheep and put it on his shoulders and protect it and carry it all the way home. You know, the way the Lord gives this parable, I don't have time for us to really look at it, but he says it's almost as though, if it were possible. So there's these 99 sheep that are already safely in the fold. And the way I interpret the parable is that those are those who the Lord Jesus Christ has already saved. He's already brought them into the fold. And perhaps they're already safely in heaven. But the Lord Jesus gives this parable as though if it were possible that when he finds that lost sheep, and maybe he's going to find one here this morning, when he finds you and brings you to himself so that you trust him fully, to believe only in him for your salvation, that there would be more rejoicing over you coming to him today in faith and believing and trusting in him than there would be in all in heaven of all of those that are already safely in the fold. How much does the Lord Jesus love to save sinners? Words cannot, even the words of the Lord Jesus Christ cannot go, language cannot go far enough to show this great news that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I have to finish here. Here's the seventh reason we know that this is a true saying. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus proved that he is the Savior, as he and others declared of him. It proved beyond a shadow of a doubt. The Lord Jesus hung upon that cross and he died and he was buried. But praise God, his body is not buried somewhere over in Palestine this morning. On that third day, it wasn't possible. Our pastor brought us that message recently. It wasn't possible that the grave should hold him. He came forth victorious over death, never to die again. Why? Because he was truly God's Son. He was who he said he was. And that when he died, he put away sin. And sin being paid for, death had no right to hold him. And so he came forth. He came forth from the grave, and today he ever lives to make intercession for all that come unto God by him. You see, this is a faithful saying. It's worthy of all acceptation. Don't be afraid of this truth that sinners must accept this message. We do accept this message, don't we? Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Trust him. Believe him. You say, I don't feel like I can trust him. Trust him anyway. Trust him with your untrust. Trust him with your lack of faith. Trust him with your hard heart. Trust him as who he is, the Savior of sinners. May the Lord bless his word. Let's be dismissed in a song. Thank you.